Hello, you are listening to The White Side. I'm your host, Rachel Pendergraft. Welcome to the show. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of The White Side. I am your host, Rachel Pendergraft. And I trust that everyone had a wonderful Christmas, that you were able to spend some time with your families and loved ones. We had a great Christmas here, myself and my husband, our son who is still at home. We had our daughters come over, my six grandchildren. That's right, I have six grandchildren, my son-in-laws, and then we all spent time at my parents' home, Pastor and Mrs. Thomas Robb, and of course my brother Jason, his wife Amanda, their five children. So we had a nice big Christmas, and of course during any family get-together, at my house anyway, one of the main topics, of course, is always politics and religion. And I always look forward to getting together with the family because we are so impassioned with speaking out for our white brothers and sisters. We like to stay on top of the news, stay informed about what's happening. Of course, we have a lot of media that calls here and asks for our opinion on current events and how it relates to a white nationalism. Some of the headlines out in the last day or two, let's take a quick look at them. The year nothing works, stocks, bonds, and cash go nowhere. Wall Street forecast for 16, worse than 15. Another one, New York City pushes the micro world. Living in 360 square feet or less, I guess that's about the tiny house movement. Here's another headline, the underwater skyscraper. No police officer indictments in the Tamir Rice shooting. Debt distress level at highest since recession. Japan wary of outsiders. Well, those are just a few of the headlines that are bouncing around out there on the internet. Of course, they're always quite shocking, causing people to have anxiety. In fact, here's a headline, AI, that stands for Artificial Intelligence Anxiety. Runaway machines pose threat to humanity. So that is another thing that I guess people could worry about. Here's one, Zuckerberg's internet.org cast as villain in India's fight over internet rules. Digital apartheid, that is another headline. And of course, we in the Western world, or those who have access to the internet, are supposed to somehow feel extra privileged. We're supposed to feel sorry for those who do not have access to the internet. Of course, sometimes I think that too much access to the internet causes those who aren't able to put a balance to things to be over anxious about what is going on in the world. We are so, we're faced with this avalanche of headlines every single day. You get them sent to you on your smartphones, you get text headlines, you get e-news headlines. Of course, we send e-news out also, just because we do want to keep people informed. Of course, we like to show the white nationalist opinion to certain headlines, but people are bombarded by headlines. At the close of this year of 2015, many news stations and many people in the entertainment industry will put out programs and news programs kind of giving a summary of all of the most sensational headlines of 2015 and, of course, making predictions for 2016. A lot of those predictions have to do with Donald Trump. People are wondering, is this man, Donald Trump, is he going to be, as Phyllis Schlafly says, is he going to be the last hope for America? is, according to some liberals and leftists, is he going to be the downfall of America because he proposes ideas that, according to them, do not benefit the minority class, does not benefit Muslims, does not benefit immigrants in this kind of free, classless society that they are trying to work toward. So there's a lot of headlines out there, a lot of different predictions for 2016. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if Donald Trump will win the presidency. I think it's very likely that he will be the candidate of the Republican Party. I think he is going to take that nomination and run with it. Whether or not there are enough concerned white Christian voters in this country to put him into the White House, I just don't know. And then if he does get elected, will the will of the people, is it enough? Is it strong enough to help enable him to carry through with the promises that he has made on account of immigration and reform of our immigration policies, deportation of illegal immigrants in this country, a moratorium on Muslims into this country. So all these things have yet to be seen. I do know that at the central core of all of this conflict is the desire for people to be free. Our white brothers and sisters have treasured freedom from the signing of the Magna Carta with King John on to the signing of the Declaration of Independence, of course preceded by the Articles of Confederation and the Mayflower Compact, in which those white Christian men endeavored to recognize that they were founding a religious colony, that they were founding something, a city on a high hill, later as Puritan fathers described it, that they were going to be a beacon of hope, that they were going to be the root of a new consciousness of liberty. That's what our white brothers and sisters want. That is what we have endeavored for years. And I want people to remember, as we come into this new year, I want people to remember where the core, what the root of that liberty is. 2 Corinthians 3:17, I like how it says that. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I think that's something that people in the white nationalist cause need to really take to heart. We really need to understand that liberty is important. It's what allows us to be independent. If properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of our life. And that worship comes from liberty. Whether we are a free person or a free nation, in order to have free families, in order to have a nation that can use and make the most of a free enterprise system, in order to have a smooth running family, a smooth organized communities and neighborhoods, we must have liberty. And at the core of liberty is the Spirit of the Lord. I hear people oftentimes talk about the need that we have to unite. They want people, white brothers and sisters throughout America, and of course throughout our sister white nations, they want us to unite. They want us to bond together. They want us to have a common identity. They want us to work against the genocide of white people together. They want us to unite. And unity is a good thing. Unity, of course, can give us strength. Unity can unite us in a way in which our passions can be utilized for the greater good. It can help us to bring our ideas together. It can help us to bring our resources together. It can help us to bring our encouragement together. But again, at the sole root of this unity must come the Spirit of the Lord. And that is something that sadly is lacking in many places. Now, I'm not one of these people that believe that working to change the system for the better is somehow undermining the sovereignty of God, as some have claimed. The Bible says that to whom much is given, much is required. God has given us the spirit of liberty. He has given this independent spirit to our people. It's what has caused our people to rise up, to create society and a culture which both looks to the greater good of our community, but at the same time is able to hold dear the concept of individual liberty. And all of these things are the bedrock of our nation. They're the bedrock of Western Christian civilization. And to work to bring change is to work to bring ourselves to a point in which we do recognize that Almighty God is the supreme leader of our people. Without that recognition that God has demanded us to never give in to traitors, to never give over to those who would want to undermine our people, who would want to set aliens in rule over us, who would want to undermine our families and our communities, who would want to undermine our faith, not to give in to those and to strive to better our people and to purify our faith with a good, wholesome, organic group mentality that both cherishes individual freedom and yet at the same time looks out for each other, looks out for our white brothers and sisters. That is true Christianity, and that is just the kernel of truth of Christianity. As Pastor Rob has reminded us many, many times, the Bible says to love your God and to love your people. And those are the two greatest commandments. And all the commandments and the laws of the fathers and the prophets rest upon those two things. We cannot, as a people, we cannot as a movement, we cannot as a cause, we cannot unite and have any progress if we deviate from those two things. We must love our people. We must love our faith. We must love our God. And those things combined together is what is going to give us true liberty. In this new coming year, I want people to have more of a heart for their people. I want our white brothers and sisters and those that are in white nationalist movement, I want them to have a deep burden for their people. I want them to be able to express this love for their people. I then want them to understand that there is real power. There's real power in love. And I know that it's a cliche. It seems like it comes out of a fairy tale. It's a cliche that there is power in love. Nevertheless, it still doesn't mean it's not true. Our people have to understand that while we fight for liberty, that liberty often takes sacrifice. If liberty was not such an ideal that was cherished, if it was not something that was worth fighting for, then no sacrifice would be required. And our people would not appreciate it when it was taken from us, whether it was taken from us through war or whether it was taken from us through trickery or blindness. Liberty is being taken, has been taken from us. And we need to band together. We need to unite together, not as a central organization of all white nationalist groups out there, but rather as a group united in spirit, united with the same common ideals. That is not just about protecting our own individual families. It's not just about protecting our own neighborhoods, but it's about a combined effort to not relinquish what freedom and liberty we have left to the enemies of white Christian America. We must recognize that there is a goal to eradicate white people worldwide, to eradicate liberty, to take away our fundamental freedoms, to undermine the dominion mandate that was given to our people. And we must keep each other in our prayers in this coming year. We must be bold. We must be courageous. We must not cower. One of the things that our people can do is to keep each other close at hand. We need to give support to each other. We need to, and I don't mean just to those that agree with us, but we need to keep those who disagree with us, those neighbors, those family members, those co-workers who don't agree with us. We need to remember that as people who have been given a great gift of knowledge. You know, we have a gift of knowledge, you and I. We understand the problems. We understand the predicament our people is in. We understand what is at stake. We understand that civilization and our faith and our people and our children and our very lives is at stake. And yet many people out there, they don't see that. They don't see that because their judgment is clouded. They're under a strong delusion. And we must keep them in our prayers. We must keep them in our line of sight. We must keep them in our vision and understand that if one of these is taken, it's a great loss to us. Even when one is taken, it is a great loss to us. It's like, you know, we're together on the battlefield. And some of those have direct orders. Some of those understand the orders. But others are just out there and they're casualties of war and they don't understand what's going on. And oftentimes, you know, I recognize that many times they don't even want to know what is at stake. They don't want to understand. But we show, and again, as I said, it's a great cliche, but we show by our resounding effort and unwillingness to give up on our people, we show that our love is real. And that's what the enemies of our people want to take away from us. That's why they like to highlight the crazies out there that think that by using some sort of violent tactics that they're going to strike a blow for the white resistance. That's why those things are highlighted. That's why the crazy words are often what makes the front lines, what makes the front pages of the newsprint. Those are things, the devil's snare, that are used to entrap our people into a paradigm of failure. And to overcome that paradigm of failure, to overcome that prison of darkness, to supersede the stupidity and the ignorance that our people have fallen into and that snare, we can break that by a unstoppable commitment to show our love for our people and to use smart strategy. We're in a war. We are in a war for the very heart and soul of our people. And we have no time to lose. We have no time to make stupid mistakes. We have no time to let petty differences fracture our cause. We have no time to allow the enemy to have even an inch into the souls of our people. And that is why, you know, here at KKKRadio.com, White Resistance News, White Pride Radio, the Knights Party, those who support us, those who are members, those who are listeners, those who are contributors, those who work to spread information for our organization and for our efforts, that's why it's so vitally important that we remember that at the heart of our cause is our faith and our race. Our faith and our race is at the heart of our cause. And the power that that love for our faith and the love for our people has is something that can genuinely propel us to success. Now, again, as I mentioned earlier, I have great faith in the plan of God. I have great faith in what He is doing, the stirring that He is causing among our people. But I don't think that God wants us to just sit back and wait. You know, when the Bible says wait upon the Lord, it's a word of action. When the Bible says to be the salt of the earth, it's a preservative, but it also preserves something that can be useful. We have to be useful for our people. We have to be useful for our faith. And so in this new year that's upon us, even though we see the alarming headlines, even though we see kingdoms and governments abroad shaking and trembling, even though we see the international finance changing, fracturing, gaining power, gaining momentum, even though we see these things and the attack on the family, and we see the slow loss of national sovereignty of our white Christian nations and united little by little under this United Nations and this global government and this beast system. Even though we see those things, we have to remember that ultimately it is in God's hands. And because it is in God's hands, that means that the mission that He has given us is all too important. We must not undermine the plan that He has given to us, the plan that He has given to you, the mission that He has given to your life, the mission that He has given you to be a better father or a better mother. And it also includes the mission that we are told about in Romans 8:29. We are told to be conformed to the image of God. God was and is angry. God is angry. God is not only a God of love and mercy, He's a God of anger. He's a God of wrath. And I don't think that we should have allow one day to pass by in which we are not angry about what is being done to our people. One day should not pass in which we go to sleep at night or let the day pass by, whether at work or with our families. Not one day, not one minute, not one second in which we are not filled with anger and rage at how dare the enemy attempt to subvert our faith, attempt to subvert and capture our people. Like God, who was jealous for His people, I'm a mother and a wife, and I'm a jealous wife, and I'm a jealous mother. I'm a jealous white nationalist. I hate when I see what they do to our children. I hate when I see the trash on television, the interracial commercials, and the nonchalant way in which homosexuality is boldly being displayed in commercials and in television shows and in textbooks and in music and on news shows and in news clips and on and on and on, and talked about as if it is nothing. Talked about as if the dismantling and destruction of our people and our faith and our homeland is nothing. It angers me. It enrages me. And I hate to see that. And yet, on the same token, because God is both a God of anger and wrath, but also a God of love and mercy, I also balance that hate, balance that wrath, balance that rage at the genocide of our people, at what is being done to our people, balance that with a deep, abiding, and convicting love for my white brothers and sisters. And not just for those that agree with me, but for those who disagree with me, for those who are under delusion, for those who have been tricked, for those who have grown up in the cesspool, for those who have been lied to, maligned, and stolen from our people. Those people out there, those are our people. Those are my people. And I will not rest. I will not rest until I have done my part, until I have fulfilled my responsibility to my God to help and preserve and help my people prosper and help them to move forward and help them to be the great kingdom of people, of the stalwart vanguard of white Christendom. I won't rest. That is what I always, every year, people make resolutions. Lose weight or to do this or to be nicer to someone or save some money or get a new home. People have all types of little resolutions they make in the new year. But every single year, that is my resolution. And I try to make it actually every day. But, you know, we're talking about the new year. And so I just wanted to share that with you because I want you to perhaps consider making that a part of your everyday resolve. Making that a part of your everyday responsibility. Understanding every single day what your responsibility is. Your responsibility is for your faith. And your responsibility is for your people. And through the united effort of white Christian men and women everywhere, we can fulfill our responsibility. We can be the kind of people that God wants us to be. And we can, and we will, because I believe we have the resolve to do it. We can have a country, a faith, a nation. We can be a people that treasures liberty again and understands that where the heart of the Lord is, there is liberty. That has to be our goal each and every day. So in this new year, make that your resolve. Don't tremble and worry about the headlines. Don't be one of these people that just watches the stock market and listens to the headlines and buries your head deeper and deeper, and then you get so tunnel vision that all you care about is your own personal little family. Of course your responsibility is to your family. But, you know, I gave a message a few years back titled "To Live and to Die, to Live to Die." So many people, they spend all their time and their energy and their money. They spend all their resources just worrying about themselves. I know people have spent thousands and thousands into the almost, you know, $50,000, $100,000 just on stocks of food and clothing and first aid and, you know, all this prepper type stuff. And I understand that, you know, a certain amount of that is important because you know, we are also required to protect our family and to look out for our welfare and our needs. But to do so, to be so tunnel visioned that all you worry about is yourself and not worry about your overall responsibility to your white brothers and sisters, to the faith, that is not a part of your ultimate responsibility, because we have to be more community minded. We have to be more Christ minded. We have to be more focused upon what our mission is day out, day in, month to month, week to week, year to year. We have to be focused on what our responsibility is to God. And do we not have any faith that God will see us through? Do we not have any faith that God will provide for us? Do we not have any faith that God will send provisions for us, that He will take care of us in our hour of need? Certainly, God helps those that help themselves. But that's the point, my friends. He helps those that help themselves. He will help our nation. He will have mercy towards our nation. He will have great compassion towards our people. But as long as our people as a whole, when their hearts remain bitter and when their souls are of stone and they care only about their own part, their own personhood, their own immediate family, And they can't see beyond that. They can't see beyond into the greater picture of our great white racial family. Because when one of them bleeds and when one of them hurts, it hurts me also, because we are all united by a common bond of blood. And I want all of our people to live in liberty. I want all of our people to enjoy freedom. I want all of our families to be united. I want all of us to be able to worship, to bow our knee at Jesus Christ, and to live in a triumphant society of love and brotherhood of white Christian men and women with individual liberty and national liberty under the banner, the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. And to do so means fulfilling our own responsibilities to our families and to our families abroad and our white national, white racial family that we are all united by blood. So I will close with that. I just want to say once again, to be bold, to be courageous, to remember your responsibilities to your families. Remember your responsibility to this effort. Remember your responsibility and the commitment that you should have each and every breathing moment to win the race and to fulfill the calling that God has placed upon your life. He's given you a great responsibility. If you understand the words I'm saying, if you understand the covenant nature of our people, if you understand the uniqueness of our people and the identity of our blood and the need for freedom and the dominion mandate, if you understand those things and you understand those concepts, then you have been given a responsibility. And to do anything else will be shirking that responsibility and will only receive condemnation by God. He doesn't give you insight. He doesn't give you vision. And he doesn't give you a purpose for nothing. Make 2016 the year that you start living for Jesus Christ and living for your people. God bless. Don't you dare.